Chapter 21, The Laodicean Testimony. In the spring of 1857, I accompanied my husband on a tour east. His principal business was to purchase the Power Press. We held conferences on our way to Boston and on our return. This was a discouraging tour. The testimony to the Laodicean Church was generally received, but some in the East were making bad use of it, instead of applying it to their own hearts so as to be benefited by it themselves. They were using the testimony to oppress others. A few taught that the brethren must sell all out before they could be free, while some others dwell much upon dress, carrying the subject to an extreme. And with a few others there was a narrowing up of the work of the third message, and following of impressions, and casting fear upon the conscientious. These things have had a blighting influence and have caused us to lay down our testimony on the subjects almost entirely. The design of the message to the Laodiceans was to rid the church of just such fanatical influences, but the effort of Satan has been to corrupt the message and destroy its influence. He would be better pleased to have fanatical persons embrace the testimony and use it in his cause than to have them remain in a lukewarm state. I have seen that it was not the design of the message to lead brother to sit in judgment over his brother, to tell him what to do and just how far to go, but for each individual to search his own heart and attend to his own individual work. It is the work of the angels to watch the development of character and weigh moral worth. The following is from Testimony to the Church, number 5, pages 4 to 11. I saw that the testimony to the Laodiceans applied to God's people at the present time, and the reason it has not accomplished a greater work is because of the hardness of their hearts. For God has given the message time to do its work. The heart must be purified from sins which have so long shut Jesus out. This fearful message will do its work. When it was first presented, it led to close examination of heart. Sins were confessed, and the people of God were stirred everywhere. Nearly all believed that this message would end in the loud cry of the third angel. But as they failed to see the powerful work accomplished in a short time, many lost the effect of the message. I saw that this message would not accomplish its work in a few short months. It was designed to arouse the people of God, to discover to them their backslidings, and lead to zealous repentance, that they might be favored with the presence of Jesus and be fitted for the loud cry of the third angel. As this message affected the heart, it led to deep humiliation before God. Angels were sent in every direction to prepare unbelieving hearts for the truth. The cause of God began to rise, and his people were acquainted with their position. If the counsel of the true witness had been fully heeded, God would have wrought for his people in greater power. The efforts made since the message has been given have been blessed of God, and many souls have been brought from error and darkness to rejoice in the truth. I saw that God would prove his people. Patiently, Jesus bears with them and does not spew them out of his mouth in a moment. Said the angel, God is weighing his people. If the message had been of a short duration, as many of us supposed, there would have been no time for God's people to develop character. Many moved from feeling, not from principle and faith, and this solemn, fearful message stirred them. It wrought upon their feelings, excited their fears, but did not accomplish the work God designed it should. God reads the heart. Lest his people should be deceived in regard to themselves, he gives them time for the excitement to wear off, and he proves them to see if they will obey the counsel of the true witness. God leads his people on step by step. He brings them up to different points which are calculated to manifest what is in the heart. Some endure at one point but fall off at the next. At every advanced point, the heart is tested and tried a little closer. If the professed people of God find their hearts opposed to the straight work of God, it should convince them that they have a work to do to overcome or be spewed out of the mouth of the Lord. Said the angel, God will bring his work closer and closer to test them and prove every one of his people. Some are willing to receive one point, but when God brings them to another testing point, they shrink from it and stand back because they find it strikes directly at some cherished idol. Here they have opportunities to see what is in their hearts that shuts out Jesus. They prize something higher than the truth, and their hearts are not prepared to receive Jesus. Individuals are tested and proved a length of time to see if they will sacrifice their idols and heed the counsel of the true witness. If they will not be purified through obeying the truth and overcome their selfishness, their pride, and evil passions, the angels of God have their charge. They are joined to their idols. Let them alone. And they pass on to their work, leaving them with their evil traits unsubdued to the control of evil angels. Those who come up to every point and stand every test and overcome, be the price what it may, have heeded the counsel of the true witness, and they will be fitted by the latter rain for translation. God proves His people in this world. This is the fitting up place to appear in His presence. Here in this world, in these last days, individuals will show what power affects their hearts and controls their actions. If it is the power of divine truth, it will lead to good works. It will elevate the receiver and make him noble-hearted and generous, like his divine Lord. But if the evil angels control the heart, it will be seen in various ways. The fruit will be selfishness, covetousness, pride, and evil passions. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Professors of religion are not willing to closely examine themselves to see whether they are in the faith, and it is a fearful fact that many are leaning on a false hope. Some lean upon an old experience they had years ago, but when brought down to this heart-searching time, when all should have a daily experience, they have nothing to relate. They seem to think a profession of the truth will save them. When those sins which God hates are subdued, Jesus will come in and sup with you and you with Him. You will then draw divine strength from Jesus, and you will grow up in Him and be able with holy triumph to say, "Blessed be God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." It would be more pleasing to the Lord if lukewarm professors of religion had never named His name. They are a continual weight to those who would be faithful followers of Jesus. They are a stumbling block to unbelievers, and evil angels exult over them and taunt the angels of God with their wicked course. Such are a curse to the cause at home or abroad. They draw nigh to God with their lips while their heart is far from Him. I was shown that some of the people of God imitate the fashions of the world and are fast losing their peculiar holy character, which should distinguish them as God's people. I was pointed back to God's ancient people and then was led to compare their apparel with the mode of dress in these last days. What a difference! What a change! Then the women were not so bold as now. When they went into public, they covered their face with a veil. In these last days, fashions are shameful and immodest. They are noticed in prophecy. They were first brought in by a class over whom Satan has entire control, who, being past feeling, without any conviction of the Spirit of God, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. If God's professed people had not departed greatly from Him, there would now be a marked difference between their dress and that of the world. The small bonnets exposing the face and head show a lack of modesty. The hoops are a snare. The inhabitants of earth are growing more and more corrupt, and the line of distinction must be more plain between them and the Israel of God, or the curse which falls upon worldlings will fall upon God's professed people. I was directed to the following scriptures. Said the angel, they are to instruct God's people. 1 Timothy 2:9-10. In like manner also that women also adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women confessing godliness with good works. 1 Peter 3:3-5. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves. Young and old, God is now testing you. You are deciding your own eternal destiny. Your pride, your love to follow the fashions of the world, your vain and empty conversation, your selfishness are all put in the scale, and the weight of evil is fearfully against you. You are poor and miserable and blind and naked. While evil is increasing and taking deep root, it is choking the good seed which has been sown in the heart, and soon the word will be spoken to the angels of God concerning you, as was given concerning Eli's house, that your sins shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Many I saw were flattering themselves that they were good Christians who had not a single ray of light from Jesus. They know not what it is to be renewed by the grace of God. They have no living experience for themselves in the things of God. And I saw that the Lord was whetting His sword in heaven to cut them down. Oh, that every cold, lukewarm professor could realize the clean work that God is about to make among His professed people. Dear friends, do not deceive yourselves concerning your condition. You cannot deceive God. Says the true witness, I know thy works. The third angel is leading up a people step by step, higher and higher. At every step they will be tested.